Team Ace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Our question, which draft prospect is likeliest to make the Titans regret drafting Cam Ward? Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter? Or if you have another one, you can throw that out there too. Adam from Portland has been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
I think when we look back, dude, we're going to have to look at it like in its whole total picture, which is that Abdul Carter had a red flag with medical. The thing about Travis Hunter, he has zero red flags. Like, the only thing I could possibly think is if he gets hurt, you lose two players. Like, that's the only thing. But he's twitchy, special. Everything about him is awesome. Like, he's – everywhere he's been amazing. So he's the only one I could think of, dude. Like, and just to kind of throw this out there, with Cam, I'm not saying that we shouldn't draft Cam. I'm saying that if they're making these comparisons of it's Steve McNair coming out of Alcorn State, Steve got to sit. This dude's going to be thrust right into that terrible offense from last year. So I really worry about Cam in that regard. I think he could make us regret just because we're going to have to play him early. But if just asking from the top prospects, I think Travis Hunter is the only good answer, man.
Thanks for the call, Adam. And I want to play a clip from the Rich Eisen show, because Rich Eisen was talking about this as well. And in the clip, he's referring to Daniel Jeremiah's top 150 prospects list over at NFL.com. He has Travis Hunter, Daniel Jeremiah does, as the number one ranked prospect. He has Abdul Carter number two. He has Cam Ward number eight. This was Rich Eisen talking about this same question.
Daniel, what he does, he has a mock draft on Wednesday night on NFL Network, Charles Davis and Daniel Jeremiah honcho that one Wednesday night. But the Monday of draft weeks, he, Daniel, reveals the top 150 players on his draft board. This, I would proffer to say, is proprietary information that Daniel shares that is no question of interest to all 32 draft rooms. They are very, like, DJ is in the know, and his opinion is respected. And he's got Travis Hunter number one on his draft board.
Mm-hmm. He should.
Which only adds to the question, is Cam Ward a first overall pick? And it's just tough for people to wrap their minds around the fact that a kid who went from Incarnate Word to Washington State to the U, where he showed a remarkable set of skills, physical, mental, the ticker inside, the heart. How many times do you see Michael Irvin on his hands and knees on the sidelines of a Miami game, staring at the scoreboard, knowing that this thing is over, and then Cam Ward just pulled it out of the rabbit hole.
Far too many times
right
to count this year.
So, but a lot of people just cannot wrap their arms around Cam Ward being in the surefire first overall pick quarterback position, like Andrew Luck or Trevor Lawrence or Caleb Williams, right?
Joe Burrow, Cam Newton.
Sure.
Yeah.
They just can't wrap their arms around it.
That was Rich Eisen having basically the same conversation. It really does seem like a lot of people are struggling, to use Rich Eisen's words there, struggle to wrap their arms around the idea of Cam Ward being the number one overall pick.
And I don't understand it, you know, because again, I go back to, and I'm not saying that they are the same athlete or the same quarterback, but this notion that you can't wrap your brain around. If you've been around this game long enough, you can wrap your brain around it. You can understand it. Even the most seasoned, GM or administrative guy or girl, if you've been the most seasoned ones, they'll tell you that, listen, these things happen where a guy goes from being no one heard of him to all of a sudden he's at the top of the draft or in the mix to be at the top of the draft. Again, I go back to Jaden Daniels and Joe Burrow. One, Joe Burrow, nobody had him on this list to be the number one pick. He had 16 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
He was the backup at Ohio State.
2,800 yards, 57% of his passes. He wasn't even completing 60% of his passes at LSU his first year. He was a relative unknown the 2 years prior to that, 16 and 17, where he played sparingly at Ohio State. So, again, the notion that, oh, I can't believe this is happening. Like, oh, my goodness, a guy go from, you know, being a relative unknown to all of a sudden, he was a known commodity. He just wasn't known to be the number one pick. Joe Burrow was a known commodity, but no one thought he would be the number one pick. Jaden Daniels was a known commodity, but no one thought he would be the second pick in the NFL draft the year prior to them coming out.
Willie, let me throw some numbers at you. This is according to Dan Orlovsky on Twitter. By QBR, Cam Ward was the best quarterback in the nation last season against a four-man rush, 87.3. When you don't get pressure, 93.9. Against your zone, 90.9. And on third down, 95.1. I understand why people, Titans fans specifically, are nervous about the idea of the Titans taking Cam Ward because he does not profile, as Rich Eisen said there, as that surefire, can't miss, G-word type of player at the number one pick in the draft. But, again, I feel like we're selling Cam Ward short a little bit. Do I know that Cam Ward is going to be him? No, of course I don't know that. But I do think, as I said earlier, the relative lack of enthusiasm for this class it seems to be dragging Cam Ward down.
And I think there's fear in general. When you have the first pick, it means your team hasn't had success. Your fans are skeptical. You've made wrong decisions to get to this point. They've dipped. They're not too far removed from a team that had a number one seed going into the playoffs, so you're still getting over the heartbreak of not winning in that window. So everybody's down. Everybody is skeptical. Everybody's like, oh, they're not going to get it right. And so there's probably fear of not taking him. There'd be a lot of people calling into the show Friday if they didn't take Cam Ward, that they just missed out on the quarterback. They don't have the quarterback. They didn't take him. The thing I keep coming back to, and I do think there's a lot of good data on Cam Ward with the numbers you just pointed out. Tim Hasselbeck said high floor. There's something to be said for that. And so I'm okay with it. I would love in a perfect world for there to be more leverage there where you could get a ton of picks.
They never opened the door. Mm-mm. The door was never opened.
For whatever reasons, right? And the thing, and I would love to get your take on something with Hunter that you mentioned during the break, Derek, because if you're chasing the Hunter dream of the home run, and look,
are you saying that you're hunting the hunter?
Yes.
You're hunting the hunter.
The hunt for the home run, rue the day. It's a home run. He is a star on both sides of the ball. He's something that's never been seen before. A true G word, right? That's what the Browns would dream of.
Yes.
If they take him second. Nothing ever goes wrong for the Browns. You think the Titans fans are cynical? Skeptical? How about being a Browns fan for 30 years?
Let's read some of our text before Derek answers that question. One texter says, in terms of which prospect is likeliest to make the Titans regret drafting Cam Ward at number one. One texter says, it's easily Travis Hunter. Number one player in the country during high school, best player in the country during college. He's been the best player in the country his whole life. He's Darrell Revis with Richard Sherman's build. Browns could ruin him by playing him primarily a wide receiver. Another texter says, has to be Hunter. If Carter is Lawrence Taylor, I could stomach it because the Titans have been burned by drafting injured players too much recently.
Okay, so give me you've made an interesting perspective. Travis Hunter definitely, especially being coached by Deion Sanders, taught the ways of the game from Deion Sanders, understands the business part of the game. But share what you shared with me about the approach of being a wide receiver and being a corner when it comes to contracts in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he understands the leverages with the wide receivers. The top wide receiver right now is making $40 million. Okay, the top corner is making $30, and he just got his money, Stingley. And obviously it'll be going up, but what else will be going up? The money that the wide receiver is making. that's a $10 million in it. You know, if you're talking the low end, there are more $40 and $30 million per year wide receivers than there are defensive backs. I'm just talking about corners. There's more of those guys. So if I'm coming out, if I'm Travis Hunter, and I put up the numbers in college, and he's just a raw athlete, he's just an amazing athlete, what I am going to do is I'm going to say I want to play wide receiver, because at the end of the day, I make more money. There's more of an impact. There's more notoriety, and there's more money at the wide receiver position. And I can be a pseudo defensive back. I can be a third defensive back. If indeed that's the route that he's choosing to go, am I drafting him then number one? No, I'm not drafting him number one based upon his abilities as a wide receiver, because to me, I can go out and get two or three other wide receivers that would probably give me the same thing that Travis has given me, and maybe even more when you're talking about production. So if I'm drafting him as a wide receiver, I'm not drafting him number one. If I'm drafting him as a DB, I'm not drafting him number one, because there are other defensive backs out there that would push him just for the who's the top defensive back out there. So people, he deserves to be the number one pick. Why? Because he's the best player in the draft. He can play both sides. It's easier said than done. When you say Deion Sanders, and people make this mistake, and no one sat there and disputed it, and they should have. Deion Sanders will go down as probably the greatest, or he already is, the greatest defensive back and one of the greatest punt returners ever in this game. But make no mistake, Deion Sanders didn't play wide receiver. He was the fourth wide receiver, or the third or fourth wide receiver on their team, and he came in spot duties. He wasn't a every down starter on both sides of the ball. It's tough to do that. Now, if Travis wants to play defensive back, you let him play number one defense, and then you can be our fourth wide receiver, but I can't expect him to be our one and two and then double that on the defensive side of the ball as well. But the notion is, oh, Deion Sanders did it. He didn't do it to the capacity that Travis Hunter is hoping to do.
We have a vote, by the way, for Abdul Carter, which I did not think we would get. One texter says, both Hunter and Ward were solid at best. When playing the elite teams in college football, both had weaker schedules. Carter excelled when the lights were brightest, even when hurt.
No, noteworthy, without a doubt. And Carter has probably, if he were completely healthy, I think the discussion might be different around Carter. But I think in the short term, people are, the health, the foot, all of that. One more point on doing something that hasn't been done. Mm-hmm. What's happening in baseball right now? You've got Shohei Ohtani, who's doing things that have never, ever been done by anybody in the history of the game. That's beyond generational, right? This is historic. But the unique thing about Ohtani is just knowing how hard it is for him to excel as a pitcher and as a hitter at the same time. That has happened for short periods, but he's also hurt his arm. The thing, that's unique is he can fall back on being an incredible hitter, incredible offensive player, even if he's not pitching. Now, later this season, he's going to try to resume pitching. And remember, this is a guy that's doing things that have never been done. But in football, if you get hurt on one side of the ball, you can't play on the other side of the ball.
One texter, Dustin from Hopkinsville, says, double the miles, double risk of injury. If injured
right.
on defense,
the reps, the practicality
of play took away from your offense.
That's what I'm thinking about, the practicality of doing it over a long period of time.
And remember,
he might be able to do it for a couple years while he's young.
He did an interview, I believe, with CBS Sports, where he said if an NFL team told him he had to focus on one position, that he would quit.
Right. And so he's got that mentality. He believes he can do it. And that is going to drive him, and it's going to put pressure on the team that drafts him to try to accommodate that, even if it may not be the best way to utilize him.
He played 713 snaps on offense and 748 on defense for Colorado last season.
Well, I will give it this. You know, he's not, because they played a lot of snaps per game. I think what he had probably averaged, what, 80 snaps per game, somewhere around there.
It was incredible how 80, much 90. He played.
But he has to – I think what he needs to understand, and maybe Deion Sanders has told him this, there's a different command on your body than – because in college, you can float, you can freelance, nobody's really touching you. You know, you get the ball. You're the best athlete. So you get the ball, you're outrunning people, you can get down. And then on defense, ain't nobody throwing to your side. Nobody's pressuring you, you know, and they're spreading you out as well. So – you know, it's a little bit easier to manage, I believe, at the college level, playing both sides of the ball. He did it, and he did it well, and it parlayed him into winning a Heisman. I just think in the NFL, it's going to be, if a team is smart, listen, when I draft you, you know, you are just either our defensive back or our wide receiver, and we will play you a little bit depending on the game and the situation. But by no means are we drafting you to play 40 plays on offense and 40 plays on defense. No, we're not doing that.
According to ESPN, he led the FBS in both 2023 and 2024 in snaps, totaling 2,625, despite missing almost five games because of injury. Now, my very quick math, if I take the snaps he played on both sides of the ball last season, that's 1,461. Divided by 13 games, he played roughly 112 snaps per game.
You can't. That's not 100 snaps per game. You're not going to get that. You get, you know, 40 snaps. So that may, and you probably average out 80. A game probably averages 80 something snaps, 90 snaps per game, offense and defense. If you put it together, and you figure he won't even play that many snaps. I mean, you can do it, but. The only way you do it is the way Dallas did it with Deion Sanders. You let him be your primary defensive back, and we'll get some packages for you, and we'll throw you in there. You may get 12 plays per game, but those 12 plays are for you.
615-737-1025. By the way, Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker, and Brian Callahan are scheduled to address reporters before the draft at 1 o'clock. We will carry that news conference for you live. That's at 1 o'clock. 615-737-1025. We continue the conversation. Which draft pick is likeliest to make the Titans regret drafting Cam Ward? Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter or someone else? Let us know. 615-737-1025. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor presented by Gary Force Acura. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com.
And that is the quarterback, Cam Ward. Look, Chase, this is such an easy one because he's the overwhelming favorite to go first overall. I understand that. But if Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter were actual franchise game changers in the way that a quarterback is, they would go number one.
Of course.
So Cam Ward's going number one because at the end of the day, and this has always been the case in the National Football League, quarterback is where it's at. Mm-hmm. It is the highest positional value, and it's not even close. I would suggest D-end, Abdul Carter, would be the second highest positional value. Chase, what's positional value? You put a premium on quarterback play. Think about the NFL today. There's probably 18 to 19 guys that these franchises probably trust to run their franchise for the next five years, not even decade, okay? And the rest of them, the 10 to 12 other franchises, they're consistently turning over rocks to try and find that guy.
Yeah.
There's a reason why Cam Ward is the overwhelming favorite to be the number one pick.
Yeah.
It's because he has the arm talent. He has the it factor. He can make any throw out there, all the different arm angles, stuff like that. The Tennessee Titans, they have a lot of other holes than the quarterback. But what are they going to do? They're going to go out, they're going to draft a guy who's going to be the day one starter. And even if he's an inkling as good as what Jaden Daniels was or what Bo Nix was, they hit on a quarterback that they can build around. And so for me, it's always going to come down to positional value. And for Cam Ward, he's shown it. He's got the highest ceiling of the quarterbacks in the draft.
That was Chase Daniel talking about Cam Ward versus Travis Hunter versus Abdul Carter as the number one overall pick. And he hammered on that point about positional value and that the quarterback position, of course, has the highest positional value. By the way, during the break, just because I was curious, I was looking up snap counts from last season because Travis Hunter played more than 1,400 combined snaps on both sides of the ball. The offensive leader in snaps outside of the quarterback position, by my very quick count here, thanks to fantasypros.com, was DJ Moore at 1,066. On defense, it was actually new Titans safety Xavier Woods with the Carolina Panthers. He played 1,218 snaps last season. So Cam Ward's total snaps would lead the NFL, no surprise. But as you said during the break, Derek, you have to consider the schedule, the caliber of competition. It's going to be much harder for someone like Travis Hunter to play both sides of the ball effectively at the NFL level.
And if GMs are being honest, and if his prior head coach, Deion Sanders, is being honest, these are the things that they need to be telling him. That, you know, they know how he felt after the season. He missed games because of injury. And they know how he felt after the season. They need to tell him it's going to be times that after every, you know, four games. And how much of that, you know, is taxing on your body. You know, you can do it for possibly a season, if that. But then after that, how long do you think you're going to play this game and have an impact that you want to have? If you continue to play on both sides of the balls with ball with those high numbers, like if you're averaging, you know, 50 plays on offense and 50, that's just, it's cool to say, and it's probably even doable for a bit. And when I mean a bit, I'm talking about some games. I'm not talking about a whole season. I just, because you're going to, he's going to find himself in that training room more times than not.
All right, let's go back to Ohtani. It was amazing what he did a couple years ago. The most incredible season, in my mind, that's ever been done. He pitched as a semi-regular in the pitching rotation, and he was phenomenal at the plate. But even in that year, he only made 28 starts. He had a 2.33 ERA. He won 15 games on the mound, and he threw 166 innings. That's really good, but that's still not, like, if you're pitching and you're a durable starter, you hope that the inning count is a little higher than that, and you hope a guy makes 33, 35 starts. So he, in his best year, that's the most starts he ever made in one year as a two-way player. And it was phenomenal. It's never been done. So that's the bar that we're setting for Travis Hunter. But once again, it's not quite as easy to pull off. And let's also note that what's the most games he played in a single college season? What's the most games Colorado played? 13?
He played 13 games last season.
Okay. So he plays minimum 17 games every year in the pros. And if his team ends up being what he wants it to be, there's then the postseason after that. We're not even counting the preseason.
Exactly.
And there are no preseason games in college.
No.
So that's what Steve Watterson used to always give the speech, right? He would say, hey, you're a rookie in this league. Let's just start with this. You are going to play way more football than you've ever played at one time. Mm-hmm. You have to have your body prepared. I just go back to the practicality of being able to do it at that level. It's just a hard, hard thing to do.
Chol is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Chol, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
My thing is, if we're going to drive a quarterback, let's just do it because we need a quarterback. When it comes to Hunt, Travis Hunter, I think a couple of months ago I saw something on YouTube. I think it was Champ Bailey and Sante Samuel, something like that. They were talking about Travis Hunter, and I think Champ Bailey was a cornerback or something like that, and he tried to play both positions. And he sat down with his family, and he said it was about the money. So you're going to be playing, these two positions. And if you want to play 2 years or you want to play 10 years, So we decided, you know, the money, they don't pay you twice. They're not going to pay you $5 million a year, $4 million a year. No, it's the same thing. So, and then your body, too, going to break down. I think it's impossible. When he get it and he getting it, I think it is not a big person. Maybe weigh 170 pounds. And the pace of the game, it's not going to fit. They're going to figure it out. Maybe some team going to give him a play a couple snaps, and then he's going to be on the sideline try to breathe. And he cannot get in. So I don't think it is impossible. That is mine. You know, people obsessed with doing these, be the first person, do this. It's not going to work.
Thanks for the call, Joel.
So he's, count him among the skeptics that you could pull it off. Of course, you could talk yourself into anything. I'm sure the Browns are thinking, we got a plan. We're gonna get the best out of him for the longest time. But I go into... Can he buy in when he makes a comment like, "I'll quit the game if I'm not a two-way player"? I think that's how a great athlete who's confident in himself should think. But can he, once he gets into that world and experiences it for a while, can he then realize this is the best thing for me and my team, that we find the happy medium, the right way to use his unique skill set creatively?
Listen, he's making a point here, and I just realized what he's saying, that he just wants the, I think he just wants the ability to play both sides. He's not saying that I want to be a starter on both sides. I hope that's not what he's saying, because that's what he was at Colorado. He was a starter on both sides. Now, Colorado ran four wides.
Does he get to pick which one that he's the main guy at, or do the Browns get to pick?
I think when you're drafting a guy and you've been talking to him long enough, you know where he fits. And I think the Browns, if indeed they do draft him, they may look at him as a wide receiver, because I think their defense is good enough. They'll start him on the wide receiver side first. Let's just put it that way. They'll start him at wide receiver first and see how that goes. If it goes well, that's where they would keep them. And if they came a pinch on defense, they would use them sparingly on defense, on third down, nickel packages, dime packages. But if I think he goes anywhere else, I think you have to have that conversation on the front end. Listen, this is where we're going to start you. And if it's on defense, we will work you in on offense, but you're not going to be a primary, you know, start on offense and defense. It's just not from a physicality standpoint. We talk about Champ Bailey and Charles Woodson. You know how many catches to combine they both had? Five in their whole careers. Five catches combined total in their whole illustrious Hall of Fame careers. Both of those guys who we looked at as sort of dual guys that can go, they did it in college some, and we folk can do it. They played a total of five snaps, both of them. So I think when we start to look at this, we look at, they didn't do it. They didn't, because Champ Bailey understood. One, they're only paying me to really do one job. My paycheck, they ain't going to give me an extra $10 million because, you're playing. We're going to give you $30 million at defensive back. But because you play wide receiver too, we're going to add on another $20 million. No, they're not going to do that. They're going to pay you, if you are a starting wide receiver, they're going to pay you right now $40 million. That's what you would be asking if you're the top wide receiver. If you're the top DB, you'd be asked for $31 million. $40 million, $31 million. I'm not great at math, but if I'm a dual threat athlete, which side am I leaning toward? The offensive side, where I can get paid? You know, so to me, you are our number one wide receiver. If you go to Cleveland, you are our guy wide receiver. And we will spot duty you on the defensive side of the ball. That's where we will start first.
And where it comes in, where it could come in too, is the franchise tag. Remember years ago, Jimmy Graham, who was a premier pass-catching tight end, wanted to be franchised, if I remember this correctly,
as a wide receiver.
Because he's like, I'm a pass catcher. I should be paid like a wide receiver.
I line up outside just as much.
Right, and that was the argument. So I can see a player from the business side going, what if I'm franchise tagged? I want to be franchise tagged at the more premier position that gets paid more.
It's funny to look back at that. I found a story on this from 2014. In a groundbreaking decision, the NFL has confirmed that arbitrator Stephen Burbank denied Graham's request to officially be declared a wide receiver. under the NFL's franchise tag rules. Although Graham lined up either in the slot or out wide on 67% of his snaps last year, Burbank agreed with the New Orleans Saints and the NFL Management Council, who argued that the tight end position has always involved a combination of splitting out wide to run pass routes and staying in to block, especially in today's modern passing offenses.
Wherever you spend the bulk of your time, that's where, especially when you get in situations like that, that's where they're going to say, well, hey, listen, your position says wide receiver. That's where you're starting. You're playing more snaps at wide receiver. So you're going to get paid as wide receiver. Same thing with Graham. Your title says tight end. And the way tight ends play now, you're flexed out wide and you're in a slot. That's what you are, a tight end. So we're going to pay you as a tight end. Plain and simple.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your reaction on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll also look ahead to the news conference featuring Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi, and Brian Callahan, which is scheduled to start at 1 o'clock. We will carry that live right here. But before we get to that, tune in to 102.5 The Game today for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores face MTSU at Hawkins Field. Pre-game begins at 5:45 and first pitch is at 6. Coverage also available on the Game app, Game Nashville app, and at thegamenashville.com. D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Fog Street Lawn Club, Nashville's premier soccer pub and rooftop. Fog Street Lawn Club offers scrumptious bites, British lawn bowling, and premier soccer pub vibes. Get half off a $30 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals and dive into the ultimate rooftop experience. So, roughly 15 minutes or so, I looked at my imaginary watch for some reason. I can't remember the last time I wore a watch, but I looked at my wrist like I had one on there. Anyway, 15 minutes from now, thereabouts, the Titans Brain Trust will address reporters at St. Thomas Sports Park about the NFL draft. We'll preview that in just a minute. Some more reaction on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com related to our topic about draft prospects who could make the Titans regret taking Cam Ward. Tommy says, I have a take. Travis Hunter will be just mediocre. He's way overhyped. And the only wide receiver he played ate his lunch. And Tet McMillan, who I assume is the receiver, isn't Jamar or Justin. He's going to find out the NFL is a different beast than the weak Pac-12.
Listen, I think he's going to be a good player. If the skill set translate to the NFL, if he plays one side of the ball primarily, I think he's going to be really good at either position. I think he will excel because I just believe he's just a natural athlete. He has just been gifted with a skill set, that not many have. He's one of those guys that you could put him on a basketball court. You could have him a bat, probably had him a tennis racket, put him on a track field. He's going to excel. And there's not too many people, like that. Bo Jackson was one. Deion Sanders was probably another. Guys that if you just put them in an arena, and I'm sure Mookie Betts is one. You put these guys in any arena, they're going to find a way to excel. And I think, Travis will excel, but I think he will excel on one side of the ball or the other. It's not going to be where he's dominant on both sides.
And by the way, unless I'm looking at the wrong box score, Colorado beat Arizona 34-7 last season, and Ted McMillan had 5 receptions for 38 yards. So unless I'm looking at the wrong game, that doesn't scream Ted McMillan.
It might have been the year before. I don't know. But I don't think that game.
In 2023, Arizona beat Colorado 34-31.
And that's the game.
And Ted McMillan had 9 receptions for 107 yards and a touchdown.
That's the game.
But that was 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Last season, Colorado ran Arizona off the field.
How old was McMillan that year? Because Travis Hunter would have been a sophomore
that year. Yeah. He was a sophomore.
Well, Ted McMillan is 22 years old.
So
he
would have
been 20 or 21 during that game.
Yes.
I don't think he's overhyped. I think he is a very, very special talent.
Yeah.
Hunter. I don't think this is like a conjured up hype thing. I think he truly has the talent. The question is, what's the best way to use him. Mm-hmm. And you can never predict the future on injuries, right? Especially with wear and tear.
And that's the big thing, you know. Not that he can't do it. It's how, but for how long? Are you going to, you know, let this young man go out there and play both sides of the ball and risk not having him as he starts to get more games under his belt? Or do you want to judiciously just, you know, sort of, I'm going to put him here, but I'm going to let him play on the other side sparingly. I'm going to work this thing out right. So it's giving him a little bit of what he wants, but it also protects the team and put the team in a good place where he's not wearing himself down each and every game.
One texter says something that I think we can all agree with by how bad this text is. I think Levis is the player that will make us regret taking Cam Ward number one. We need to draft quarterback protection and receivers, and we will be a playoff/Super Bowl contender. Too many giving up on Will too quickly. That is from Pete. Pete, I appreciate your text. I'm willing to take that chance.
Listen, I said this off air. We could probably discuss this after listening to Borgonzi at the 1 o'clock hour. But if I'm the Tennessee Titans, I'm trading Will Levis. I'm trying to trade him during the draft. There's no way I am entering. And I'm sort of going back on what I said about Will Levis, not from the standpoint of him being a good player. I think Will Levis is going to be, you know, at least a backup in this league, because I think he has the tools to be a backup. He's a good player. He's just not starter worthy. But make no mistake, I've always said, well, Will Levis may come back, and if he's the only way he gets a starting job is if he's, you know, the total opposite of what he was last year and he's developing. It's not even that no more. You can't open up camp with Will Levis on this roster. You cannot. Because the minute you draft Cam Ward is the starter. He is the starter. We're not looking for a young backup. No, we're not. We're not looking for someone to you know, still think he can be a starter in this league. No, we're not in the business of developing two quarterbacks at the same time. That's why we went out and we got some veteran guys that are sort of in they're in development stage, or they have been developed. We know what they are. They may have a little bit left, but we know exactly what they are. They are backup quarterbacks. Cam Ward is our guy. Will Levis, we will try to trade. Justin Fields got traded because they drafted Caleb Williams, and they did not need to have him in the building. They didn't. They probably liked him as a person, but they couldn't have him in the building. I said years ago, I said Matt Hasselbeck needs to go because Jake Locker needs to know that this is his team. And they finally end up doing it. Now, Jake just didn't have the passion to play the position anymore. He chose to retire a little bit early. But when you draft a guy that high, that young, he needs to come in today's football. There need not be another guy behind him that thinks that they should be a young guy that thinks they need to be a starting quarterback in this league too. You're not in a position for that. Trade him away. Get something for him. I think you will be able to get more than what you think, especially during the day of the draft. Now you ain't going to get anything for him, for Will Levis. But come the day of the draft, I think you'll get more than what you thought.
We're going to talk about this in the coming days. Mark from Ashland City says, go back to 2023 and Cam Ward at Washington State shredded Colorado for what it's worth. Washington State won 56-14. Cam Ward accounted for 4 touchdowns, 2 through the air and 2 on the ground against the Buffaloes. But it's time soon to hear from Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi and Brian Callahan at the pre-draft news conference that starts at roughly 1 o'clock. We will carry it for you live. I'm curious if anybody asks, how open is that door, Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker? Did you leave it ajar? Is it cracked? Is it all the way open? Who knows? But we will hear from them in just a matter of moments. We will carry that for you live. 615-737-1025. Let's go. Let's continue on our text line here as we wait for that. One texter talking about regretting drafting Cam Ward. One texter says, Cam can only... Oh, I actually already read that text message. But it's... No, I didn't actually read this text message. All of the other signed text messages look the same. Cam can only be as good as his offensive line will let him be. If he doesn't have the protection, they will hurt him just like they did Will Levis.
They're working on it.
Yeah.
Right? They hired Bill Callahan. They couldn't fix it in 1 year, mm-hmm. but they made progress. So that's a Captain Obvious statement. I think, but it's not like they're ignoring this. Mm-hmm. It may not work. I don't know. They may have a bad offensive line again, but they have tried to address that.
Dustin from Hopkinsville, by the way, mm-hmm. is calling it Will Levis to the Cleveland Browns. He's taking it to the bank, Dustin from Hopkinsville.
Hey,
Levis to the Browns.
You never know. He has the big arm to throw through
but
the web.
But they already have Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett.
And Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Yes.
He can
so how many quarterbacks are they gonna, do they need?
He'd be a young Joe Flacco. I don't know. Yeah, so what were you just talking? I was talking about Joe Flacco.
The offensive line.
The offensive line. Yeah, that's what we got to. Here's going to be the interesting part because I was looking at this last night. Yes, the Titans are doing what they need to do in trying to build up this offensive line, but I think here is going to be the potential blow up in all of this because. They're trying, and I get it, but this team is not in a position and a luxury to just be trying things. They got to know this is going to work. More, was it the offense and the quarterback, or was he just not that good of a left tackle? This guy, he didn't play well last year. So was it just a one-off? Was it Russell Wilson held the ball too long?
You're talking about Dan Moore.
Yeah, Dan Moore. Did Russell Wilson hold the ball too long in Pittsburgh? Why is it that he regressed last year as a left tackle? That's what we need to find out.
And maybe that's a question for Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi, who along with Brian Callahan will address reporters from St. Thomas Sports Park. Coming up next, 615-737-1025, Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 The Game.